meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew's a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Tonight from Hustle and Flow, Taryn Manning is here, and John Singleton, who we haven't met either, have we?
Well, Taryn's been up before.
Taryn? Oh, Christ.
I swear, John, I met somewhere. But
so forgetful.
Somewhere.
Taryn, what were you here promoting before?
I don't remember. We were trying to figure it out.
How long?
It was,
I recognize the voice, actually, now. Well, you cut your hair or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I did.
It was like crazy beautiful.
Crazy beautiful?
That's it.
Yep.
It was a while ago.
All right, well, good. Wasn't
maybe it was to celebrate her karate championship. I think that was it.
You're a karate champion?
Yep.
How'd that go?
It went really good until this boy kicked my ass, but it was
oh, really?
Good. Yeah.
Well, it puts guys, you know, here's
co-ed.
The problem. Here's the problem with everyone competing with everyone now. Like, once in a while, I watch these shows on, you know, these sports shows. And he's a wrestler. He has no arms. He has no legs. He only has one lung, but he wants to compete. I feel sorry for the poor son of a bitch who has to pin this guy. It's not the guy I feel sorry for. It's the poor guy trying to wrestle him. Like, what are you supposed to do with this guy? Put a knee into him and, like, take him down and throw, like, you know what I mean? There's
yes.
a guy. He's got no legs, but he wants to play nose tackle on his high school team. What are you going to do? Is the center just drive the guy into the ground and lay on him? Like,
I know. Listen, we've gone to the absurd.
I just
it's
want
like theater just roll
the absurd.
Them around.
I want the ladies to compete with the ladies and the folks with no legs to compete with the folks with no legs. Not for their sake, but for the able-bodied sake.
I like those matches that they have when those washed up celebrities fight each other.
Oh, that's good.
That's fun.
I would have never
Adam
taken that off.
Adam
the
was
air.
Supposed to
yeah.
fight China.
Yeah.
At one point.
What?
Yeah.
You were going to fight China? Why?
China the wrestler. Yeah.
China the wrestler.
No, I wasn't supposed to. They called
me. They thought about it.
Look,
you don't
true.
Want to get in the ring with
her.
Well,
you were supposed
man.
To. If you had gone with it, they would have done it.
She beat her boyfriend up. You don't want to get in the ring with her.
Yeah.
Right?
She was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's body slammed.
They called me and wanted me to box with China. But it's the same thing like when the gimp is playing nose tackle. Either he whoops your ass and then you got to kill yourself because the guy with no legs just sack the quarterback, or you drive him into the ground, in which case
like
you need therapy.
Yeah.
It's one or the other.
Yeah.
Either
Taryn, no
either, either Taryn throws a spinning crescent kick and takes your takes
thyroid
your Adam's
out.
Apple out, or you put a whooping on his chick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we can't do it. All right, let's talk hustle and flow.
That's right.
Who isn't talking about it, by the way?
Oh, good, Drew.
Yeah.
Nice little piece of brown nose that's going on there. No, the movie, well, first off, the movie has, first it was like, they've been promoting this film for a good 2 months, it feels like. And then it was like, this is MTV. And then I saw it, I think, reviewed on Siskel and Roper. And then they were like, oh, no, this is, or Ebert and Roper. And they were like, this is a substantial film.
Yeah.
Talking Oscar.
Yeah, it turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
Good little movie, man.
So, yeah.
we had DJ Qualls up here a couple weeks ago.
Oh, Qualls came in?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah
that's right.
He told me.
Yeah.
And he was kind of starting to talk about it. And he was sort of like, yeah, well, there's a lot of buzz. I mean, like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It seems to me like it was a smallish film that somebody realized was a pretty good film and then started getting behind it.
That's what
Is
happened.
That true?
That's what happened. I mean, the movie basically was just a labor of love amongst us that were involved with the picture. And once people started seeing it, you know, it was like, wow, you know, this could really be a breakout film for the summer.
And how did you get involved with it, John?
A friend of mine, Stephanie Lane, who's my fellow producer on the movie, she brought me the script and gave me one of Craig Brewer's films that he did on DV. You know, like a lot of young filmmakers, he was able to cut his teeth by shooting movies on video and then editing them on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw it and saw the movie and I read the script and I was like, this guy should be making movies.
And you have Four Brothers coming out, which I just saw an ad for before I left. Looks good.
Yeah.
And also... I'm just trying to figure out how old you are, because Boys in the Hood...
37.
Jesus. Well...
I was 22 when I did Boys in the Hood.
22?
Wow. Oh, my God.
22. I was looking at a Viewmaster and drooling when I was 22.
I'd go for Goofy.
I had a big wind-up beanie, and there's a long string of saliva that would hit me in the lap, and I was just looking at the Grand Canyon with a Viewmaster.
I was laughing and talking to Dr. Drew and saying, like, man, you know, doing Loveline is funny for me because I remember being a teenager, you know, like 15 years old, you
15,
know,
yeah.
Hadn't got laid before and everything, listen to this thing, right? You know, like, whoa, wow.
Yeah.
I hope I could have problems like this one day.
Oh, yeah. This is way back.
You know what I'm saying, Terry?
Crazy.
I was like, man, you know, so it's just so funny to be, you know, KRQ just.
Yeah, you know, surreal,
helping
right?
him deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually, it's the way I felt because I used to listen to this show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I listened to this show. I grew up in the Valley. Mm-hmm. I listened to K-Rock. I listened mm-hmm. to this show for a good 10 years before I showed up here. So, you know, when I met Drew, Drew was like, how do you do? And I was like, hey, I know Drew.
That's how, I've that's known how, you for 10 years.
That's what it feels like. I mean, if you listen to a guy a couple hours, well, actually, it was on once a week for the first days, whatever. Yeah. And then yeah. when I'd listen pretty much every night. Mm-hmm. And it's you just feel like you know the guy. You don't mm-hmm. feel like you even need an introduction.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
But wait till you see him during the commercial break when he lets his hair down. Totally different guy.
Oh, really?
Totally different guy. You would not know him.
Can't wait.
So how's the movie doing at the box office?
It's doing good, man. I mean, it's like, you know, we were like number two behind Wedding Crashers in terms of per screen average. It's mm-hmm. not in that many screens, but
it
is like it's kicking ass.
Are they gonna put it in more theaters?
It depends on how it does this weekend, then we're gonna expand. You know, it's kind of like the films like the Napoleon Dynamite of this summer. Like
yeah,
Napoleon
yeah.
Dynamite wasn't in that many screens, you know, but it ended up making a lot of money because it just held on, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, as long as the film's making money, then it'll be fine. And it's making money, so I'm
that's
cool.
sort of the new model.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drew knows the opposite end of that spectrum from doing New York Minute, playing the father of the Olsen twins.
Is that what you did?
A year or so ago.
You were.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Oh, awesome. He got one of them, but he won't tell me which one he got on the set. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, Drew, when you're in Canada, you know, it's still a lot of time. It's cold. Out
oh
there.
My God.
You know, people. You know, really when you do a film, you really bond. There's a bonding. All right. Where are we? We got to take a call.
Yeah. Let's take a couple calls.
All right. Let's see. I'm gonna see what else I have for Taryn over here. What else you got coming out? You don't need anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a couple things coming out, a couple more independents, but one's called Dandelion and one's called The Breed. Some good stuff coming out soon. So
you made a I haven't seen the film yet, but I've seen about 300 commercials on Hustle and Flow, and you make a very convincing prostitute.
Thank you.
Yeah.
such a sweet compliment.
Yeah. No, I mean, I bought it.
Good.
Yeah, it was like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman, where it's like, yeah, come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
You look like a hoe.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, awesome.
That's sweet. You hear that, Mom?
Yeah.
Are you from
Arizona? No, but I mean, sometimes they just take a chick and they put some high heels on her. It's like, you're a prostitute. That ain't a prostitute.
It was
a
Phoenix last week.
Like
it was 115.
Was it?
Really?
Yeah, that's why we moved.
People are moving in at like 65,000 people a week,
yep.
A year rather.
Really?
Into that 115 degree heat. It's like,
they're
what?
They're loving it.
That yeah. In Vegas, people moving there in Vegas.
What? Well, Vegas, yeah. My theory with Vegas is these are people that are going to hell. And so they just want to
get used to it.
They want to get used to it. Yeah. That's my take on Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, it's like putting your leg in the jacuzzi.
That's
you know what I mean? Like, all right, I'm going to hell in about four more years after the emphysema kicks in. So I'll move to hot climate. You don't want to go from Minnesota to hell.
No, but you're too shocking.
Yeah. Go to Nevada. You live in Peru for a while.
Enjoy yourself a little bit.
Hey, by the way, you're going to hell anyway. Why not bang some prostitutes and gamble your kids' college fund away? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that'll work.
Yeah. I'm going to be moving in a few years. You know, I'm going to get jump started on hell. That'd be awesome. And then you get to the hell. You get to hell, and the devil's like, hot enough for you in hell? And you're like, meh.
It's like worse summers in Vegas.
Not worse than Vegas.
Devil's getting angry. You're telling him a story about being out in the tarmac at McCarran in July. He's like, what? Now he's getting angry at Vegas. He tries to turn up the heat, but it only goes like 130 in hell.
Okay.
All right. That's what I'm figuring. Angela?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yes, I called last night, and we kind of got off on the alcoholic boyfriend situation, and I just wanted you guys to know, I have came to terms with the fact that I cannot help him, and I am leaving the first.
Okay. What we were telling you was go to Al-Anon.
I am.
Her,
good girl.
Her boyfriend went out of town, and she got like a check from a
strip club
for like $300, which she thinks is a lot. I'm here to tell her.
Well, I'm a
it ain't all
student.
That much.
She's never met Jimmy Kimmel.
I've got charged at the strip club ATM more than $300 just in service charge.
Well, but I'm a
$2 charge
for a 40-hour period. But yeah.
Income.
No, right, Angela, but evidently we didn't get to your question, so what is the question?
My situation is that I have such an extreme problem with it, like the lap dances. Like, he can give me a compliment, and I'm all of a sudden warped into seeing this chick riding him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, is this just a natural thing men do?
You know,
I don't get over it.
Now, Adam will have a different point of view on that, but I don't blame you. You wouldn't want your wife with some guy humping on her. You know what I mean? Adam, you don't care.
What? No, I don't want. Well, look. First off, what's the difference? At least she's dressed. Our wives go to the masseuse 3 times a week. They're totally nude. Got a guy getting a third base for him, and then they tip him $30. At least they're wearing pants in this environment.
Well, your point's taken.
Totally naked. Look at their underpants.
All right. Well, anyway, it's a little different intent.
Yeah, all right. But, I mean, come on, women with this massage.
I know.
This is therapeutic.
Already.
I get a lap dance. I'm cheating. You get totally nude, and some guy rubs you down with oil. No problems there. That's fine. No problem. I pay for it, by the way. Yeah. I should be paying for that. Yeah. At least you don't pay for my lap dance.
Yeah.
Look at it this way.
Yeah.
Or what we talking about?
All right, so the lap dance cheating? Lap dance cheating, Taryn?
No, it's not cheating, but it's definitely not cool, I don't think. If you're, like, in a relationship, you know, kind of
So you're married and you had kids and dad's going out and even just on a business trip or something one time.
I don't know. Those girls are lame at strip clubs, so.
That's what he thinks.
Depends on the strip club you go
to. Ooh.
Ooh. John.
Voice of sanity.
You must have been to a couple.
Yeah, I've been a couple.
Yeah, you want to get an accurate survey, you got to move around the country a little bit.
Yeah, it's
lonely when you're filming out on the road that way, you know?
He's just doing fact-finding for a film.
Well, sure, you're doing research for a film he hasn't thought of yet. But
It's forming a thought.
The greatest ideas come in strip club.
Here's the thing. And some of the worst too, actually. But
yeah.
Now here's what I was saying last night, and Taryn and see if John agree with this. I was saying there's a context. If you're out with a bunch of guys and you're at a bachelor party and you go to a strip club, that's one thing. If you're sort of going alone on a weeknight, that's another situation.
Yeah, that's enough. If you're in a relationship and you're going alone on a weeknight, then you got a problem.
Right, yeah, I think women definitely, they don't see context sometimes. If you're, quiet, Drew, I know your wife's listening.
No.
If you're, she's got a leather strap, she's got that machete, she's a
razor.
Yeah, straight edge, just sitting at home. Mm-hmm. No, or maybe it's that wheel she's spinning, just sparks flying out. Yeah, here's the point. If you go to a bachelor party and there's 20 guys and a stripper comes around, she's getting naked and she's making the rounds and she sits on your lap and starts doing the hoochie-coo, that is completely different than you cruising the internet and going and meeting somebody or you going alone out to a strip club on a Wednesday night and dropping $500. It's a totally different situation.
But
you know what it is? It's the same thing as it is with drugs, which is you're out, there's a bunch of people, you're in a limo, you're partying, you can do some coke. If you're... I'm serious.
If you're an addict or not.
Okay, no, you can do some coke. If you're sitting at home, and if you're just sitting home alone, and it's Tuesday, and it's 8 at night, and you're drawing yourself a line, you got a problem.
I appreciate your point of view. However, there's one corollary to that that you have to realize that...
Plus, I don't even know if it was coke. I mean...
When you're at home, Adam, thinking about coke, it started because a few months ago you were doing it in the limo.
No.
If you're an addict, that's how it gets going. I'm not trying to say he was an addict.
I'm not talking about who's got the gene for alcohol.
I thought we were talking about strip clubs.
Yeah, we're talking about strip clubs, but I'm just saying it's analogous. If you're sitting at home doing drugs, you got a problem.
Yes.
If you're out partying in Cancun and someone puts a line in front of you and you snort it up after a pitcher of margaritas, so what are you looking at, Drew? You know what
that's
I'm talking
about. That's
how
my patients
about.
Get started, though, is the point. I'm saying, get started.
No,
it's
please.
So he's saying that the stripper at the party could...
And by the way, the stripper at the party thing is, right, what's what spawns the guy sitting at home thinking
like,
about
that
it, too.
That was fun. Let's get some more of that.
Doesn't spawn
not,
that.
Not necessarily, no. But if you're going to be that guy...
If you're going to be that guy...
But you're probably going to be that guy anyway.
You're
going to
be that guy anyway.
I'll,
right.
I'll grant you that.
Right, I'm just saying...
Those things... The thing about it is those things have to be... We're talking about strippers, not snorting coke.
Right, yeah. Right.
Those things have to be regulated to the recreational, like...
Yeah,
okay,
social.
Yeah, the social right. thing. You go out with your boys, you know, you go to a strip club, or you go out with, you know, some people and everything and stuff, or you go to a strip club. You don't just, like, you're not in a relationship or getting married, or a married man and going to a strip club and then giving your rent money and the bills money and car payment to the stripper.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
And my point is, we spent like now 10 minutes on this.
Yeah.
I see Angela's point of view that forget the context even, just how uncomfortable that it all is for her.
Yeah.
It's an uncomfortable.
I understand her position too.
What this guy did was just go.
He went berserk too. I mean, he's going south with it.
And then she got the bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she didn't get stuck with the bill. She just sort of uncovered the bill.
Found it insured.
Because strip clubs do not say strip club on the Amex thing. Yeah. They just 87
left.
$9,000 plus tip plus
in her name
champagne half bottle of champagne.
Yeah, champagne. Champagne. 250 milliliter champagne, $26.95.
Boxed wine.
Yeah, box of wine. Oh my
All right,
god.
Keep moving. All right.
All right. But look, hold on a second.
Hold on.
No, I wanted to say our last caller,
Angela.
We should not. She's an obsessive person. She's got stuff going on
she's
with
very
her.
Codependent
this
with
is
the
wrong guy for her. She should get away with her, but she's got to dial it down a little bit.
Yes.
I could hear it in her voice.
Very intense. Yeah.
Okay, Jackie.
Yes.
21.
Yes.
What's happening?
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Okay. My question is, well, I used to be one of those kind of people when I had sex that I could go on for hours and hours and hours, and then I started using this new birth control a few months ago, and ever since then, I would start breaking out. My vagina would be swollen, and I would have... It would be very irritated. And
right. What was it, Depo-Provera or Menest or some low-dose pill?
It was the NuvaRing.
Oh, NuvaRing, interestingly. That's interesting, because that shouldn't do that.
Yeah, and we tried it once to take it out, and it wasn't as bad, but it was still very, very, very painful.
So you may be having a reaction to the ring, some sort of vaginitis or something. A new ring is a contraceptive ring you put in once a month, and it's like a contraceptive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the birth control pill, but you don't have to take it every day.
And,
exactly. Obviously, that's what's causing your problem, because you associated with the initiation of that treatment and then how this problem occurred. And what you're describing is some sort of inflammation or dryness in the vagina, and that can be estrogen deficiency. It can be, and that can cause the dryness, or it can be an infection. And I would think more likely an infection, frankly, given that there's a foreign body in there. And or maybe it could be a chemical reaction, something about just having the ring present your body doesn't like for some reason. I've not heard of that from this ring, but you ought to talk to your gynecologist about it.
I think I may have rejected one.
I kind of did that. Like,
you put
it
in the keistered it?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
I don't want to get pregnant.
I beg your pardon.
I was being very active that month. An active month, right? This is when I was doing the coke and, you know, going to the, you know, off the hookers, actually. That'd be a good time. That'd be a good rule for you to make. Like, I'm only going to do blow if it's off of a hooker. That would sort of limit your blow. As bad as it sounds, it would probably keep it to a minimum.
Yeah.
You'd be in places where you couldn't get a hooker. And, you know, you promised yourself, I'm only going to do it off of the hooker. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. It's a genius.
And then you couldn't get a boner for the hooker because you'd be too coked up.
So
that's an agreement you could make with your old lady. I think you could sell
that
to her.
Yeah, she'd go for that.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. So what should she do, Drew?
You go back and talk to the doctor prescribing the ring. It's an unusual situation.
Let's talk to Neil. We're going to play a little something called Germany or Florida. The way the game goes, John and Taryn, is all bizarre stories either emanate from either Germany or Florida. Mm-hmm. I figured out through doing some research that if it's effed up, it comes from Germany or Florida. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, guy killing this kid in a bathtub or something. That's commonplace everywhere. But I'm talking about guy cutting his toes off and frying it up and eating it. You know, really weird,
macabre.
Sick, the bizarre, macabre stuff.
That kind of thing only happens in Florida.
Only happens in Germany or Florida.
Wow, where'd the toes happen at?
What? I think that was Germany. Well, I think he ate the whole guy.
It was the penis. Yeah.
Oh, penis. Oh, Germany, yeah.
The guy cut his penis off and fried it and kicked it?
He cut someone else's penis off, too, didn't he?
They got it off the internet.
Oh, they ate it together.
Yeah.
Germany.
In the internet, people pull these stories. Well, tell them how this started.
Well, I just, when I was writing, when I was writing over at Jimmy Kimmel Live, ABC 1206, everyone just would pitch stories at lunch every day at the writer's meeting, and every single bizarre effed up story at the end, eventually start taking shape, which was, it was either out of Germany or Florida, so people would start guessing and start joking at Germany. As soon as somebody mentioned, a nun going down on herself or something, it was like, Germany, Florida. And I realized, yes, they're all out of Germany or Florida. So why not cash in and turn it into a game? It's sweeping the nation. Cool. So Neil is going to tell us the story, and then we're going to guess. Is it Germany or Florida?
Okay, cool.
Neil?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Although robbers often cover their faces with masks, one crook arrived at a store with nothing to hide his identity. Thinking quickly, he picked a plastic bag out of the garbage outside the store, placed it loosely over his head, walked in, and announced the robbery. Despite having his face covered, he had a clear view of what he was doing, but it turned out that the police, who later watched the crime on the store's security camera, had a clear case against him. He had been wearing a transparent plastic bag.
That's Florida.
That's stupid if it feels Florida.
Florida, me
German's
too
smart for that.
I like the fact that he could have asphyxiated the bag, too. It's an added level of stupidity.
Would have been nice. Are we all going Florida on this one?
Outside chance Germany could, but it feels Florida.
Feels Florida.
She may be screwing with us. Or he
Germany, these guys are diabolical, but this is just stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the educational system is too good in Germany for this.
Right, yeah. They've taught their criminals better. We're all going Florida, Neil.
All right. It's St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yeah, there you go.
He was an Asian.
Asian? Wow. Not too many. Well,
parents
too many of them.
Here before.
Yeah. All right, Neil. Neil, I'm going to go way out on a limb here and guess you're virgin.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Always hear what they sound like. Because when the
guys... We have other
15-year-olds. They're like, yeah.
And by the way, this guy that Adam's doing, sounded like Neil the day before.
Yeah, before he got laid, yeah. Then after he gets laid, check this out. This cat, she's going to a slick store, man. All of a sudden, a guy just turns. Everyone's into James Earl Jones at a certain point. Who am I trying to think of? Who does everyone turn into? Come on, Drew, come up with somebody. Come up.
A singer that just died of kidney failure.
Yeah, white. Barry White?
Barry White. There you go.
All right.
Barry White.
All right. That's good, Drew. It's great that you work in the kidney failure. See, he's a doctor. He's always working the medical. He doesn't remember names or faces. He remembers diseases.
If I get the specific, you guys would know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. I'll go like, remember that guy that was in here 10 years ago? And Drew will go, no. And I'll go, the carcinoma. That's right. They had cancer. That's right. We know that guy. Drew, is that how you remember everyone?
That's how my brain works, yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
It's good.
It's good times.
You call that working, by the way?
I don't have a name for it.
Functions.
It's how my brain functions, yeah.
Yeah. Because functions seems like something you could do when you're asleep.
Your
heart still
works. Like I have to put some
work sounds like you're doing something. Yeah.
No.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break. When we come back, what's Aldera?
That's we'll talk about.
That gets rid of General Warts?
Mm-hmm.
I love those commercials. You know those commercials where it's always a chick who's got something but ain't going to slow her down? She's got herpes. Well, she's got warts.
Taryn would be the perfect. She's out here playing karate.
You'd be throwing karate kicks and stuff. Yeah, ha. Yeah, I got warts.
Taekwondo.
Still kicking some ass.
Kicks.
Yeah. And I always think, I always feel sorry for the actress who probably doesn't have the warts or the whatever who has to play that role.
Yeah,
but I started thinking about the other day. How about the dude has to play her boyfriend? That poor son of a bitch got to come into the picture. Hey, baby.
That's funny.
It's cool. I know you got this from someone else, but I'll take you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all right. Maybe give him to me. He's got warts, too, now.
Yeah, I've already got him.
He got warts, too, except for he's got under
got
five.
About
he
it.
Didn't eat. All right, let's Hustle and Flow, name of the movie. John Singleton here tonight. Also, Taryn Manning. We will take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back, talk warts, after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. John Singleton is here tonight. Taryn Manning is here tonight. Hustle and Flow. You've seen that. Speaking of hustling and flowing, mm-hmm. I got my transcripts today from junior high and from high school.
I've got to see.
This is a train wreck.
Wow.
Now, it's a little hard to make out because it came from a microfilm that's stored somewhere in, like, downtown LA.
No, I'll make this out. Don't worry.
But Drew knows how to read this stuff. I can't read. Now, first off, someone pointed this out to me. I had no idea what this number was, the 497 out of 570.
The days of...
No, that's my ranking.
Oh, God.
570, and it's unclear if that was 570 who graduated. I think that's just 570 in the senior class, because there wasn't that many in the graduation.
What school was that?
North Hollywood High.
Adam, okay.
You know what that 1.75 is there?
That's my GPA. That's out of 2. 2 is the highest.
No, I believe 4 is the highest.
Oh. All right.
1.75.
1.75. That's a healthy, that's a solid D.
I am actually honored to meet you. I've never met somebody with a one anything.
Oh, really?
Walking around. Yeah. Usually like a, you know, they're sort of in special.
Yeah, they're in Germany or Florida. Yeah, 1.75 GPA.
Oh, my God.
The 497 out of the 570, and I'm telling you that 570 is not the amount of people who graduated. The 570 number is the amount of people who were supposed to be in class.
45 of them died that year.
At least.
The other 30 left
many
the country.
Moved, many left the country. Many were deported. Yeah, so I was probably realistically 497 out of about 505. There are probably about 8 kids that did worse than me. But, Drew, there's a few highlights on there I was looking at and having a good laugh at.
And it looks like, though, it's not an ABC system, right?
No,
it is. HSU?
No, it is. Now, first off, well, like you take ceramics there. You see the F-U-U in ceramics?
the F-U-U in ceramics?
Yeah, the first letter is the grade you get. Yeah. And the second two are like satisfactory, unsatisfactory. Oh, and then there's E, excellent. What you like isn't, the highest you can get is an A-E-E. The lowest would be what I have here.
Here's the comedy. F-U-U. I've got English S, which is B, satisfactory. Biology. Like
No, when you see the zero.
Zero,
biology?
Didn't
you know what that zero stands for?
No credit.
Yeah, you know why?
Because you didn't turn your last paper in or something?
No, because I failed.
Okay.
That's a failure.
Math
biology.
Is an S. These are B, satisfactory.
Yeah, that's math.
What's this say?
That's not algebra. I don't. You understand? That's
like math.
This is, what's that? Condec? Is that like home ec?
That's probably home ec.
Home ec, again, zero.
Yeah, that driver's ed, you notice there's failures down at the bottom on driver's ed.
Yeah, but I like football.
E. I got an A.
Yeah,
well, here's the thing.
Give me a port card for football.
Here's the
what?
What's a class?
That's what?
I was all valley. What do you want to give me a C?
That was first A. Extracurricular activity.
Look, everything. Here's my deal. If you can grade me on English, you got to grade me on football. That's my.
It's your language. That's what you speak. Speak football.
That was my major.
Yeah.
Here's the thing you get a kick out of here, Drew. Second semester
basic
of the 11th
math.
Grade, basic math.
Yeah.
Not trig, not geometry.
Yeah.
This is the 11th grade. This is the second semester of basic math. And when they said math, they didn't mean generic. They didn't math. They
basic
weren't, talk,
addition,
they weren't talking about algebra. Yeah. Now, here's what I realized, too, Drew, as I look at all the failures and the D's and a handful of C's. If you take away my A's that I got in football and baseball every year, because every year at the last class I got an A.
Right, I see it.
If you discount the A's from the football and the baseball, this 1.75.
Oh. I didn't know that was actually factored in there.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I got 6 A's that are being factored in there. Yeah. Yeah.
Not only would my parents have killed themselves, I would have killed myself. My extended family would have killed themselves.
Yeah.
My grandparents would have emerged from the grave to kill themselves.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Emerging from the grave.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Adam, definitely not a Jew.
Yeah, no, that is not Jewish work there, baby. Wow. Yeah, and then you know, junior high wasn't a whole lot better. A lot
of D's. Get your picture there. Oh, I'm going to show Taryn.
Yeah. Well, you can barely make it out.
Oh, I can make it out now.
Yeah, you really just make out all the D's and everything. Wood shop, and plastic shop.
All those zeros. How did they let you keep skating?
What'd you get in wood shop?
Hey, man, I was.
What'd you get in wood?
You know, I probably got a C in wood. You know, I was all right in shop.
Did you take a what's that class? You know, when you work, you take auto shop.
No, I took like cooking and sewing. It was important pathetic.
Cooking,
yeah. Drew, you want to talk about warehousing?
I know.
Now, first off,
remember the days when the man was. You know, we were pushing back against the man and his ideas about education.
Yeah.
That was all, you know, the man was trying to educate you, Adam, and you weren't having any of that.
No. This is a little past. This
you went to Walter Reed?
I went to Walter Reed,
I went to Bartola for 1 year.
Oh, that's out in like Van Nuys or Sherman Oaks, Encino area?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah,
I got bust out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, got bust out there.
Wow. From where? Actually, Beverly Hills?
No, from South Central. Actually, what happened is I left one school and then I got on a bus. Uh-huh. I left one school because I was having problems with the teacher. Mm-hmm. He had this rule against bringing metal columns to school. You can remember how I told all
you
the brothers,
pick?
Don't bring picks to school because they use it as weapons.
I'm trying to imagine John with a big afro now.
So
oh boy.
You got a squint. Don't bring picks to school because they use their weapons. And I was like, whatever. I keep it in my back pocket. And the woodshop teacher, Mr. Smith, he said, Singleton, didn't you hear the rules against bringing metal columns to school? And I was
How comical is this, the woodshop teacher?
And he snatches it off it, and he in front of the whole class, saws it in like 4 or 5 pieces in front of the class, and puts it in front of me. Everybody laughing at me in the class, true story.
Awesome.
I picked it up, I threw it in his face, and I called him a word I can't say on radio.
Wow.
A couple chords.
Wow.
And I walked out of the classroom. You know what I mean? And
what high school was that at?
It was at Monroe Junior High School in Englewood.
That was at Monroe.
So then I
do you
went
have any
to
messages
my,
for that guy now?
The that's same thing that I said when I walked out the classroom. I was saying,
I think he already
saying,
did it. Yeah.
Sure he's living in his own
but,
hell.
But the thing about it is, I went to my friend's house, and he was being bussed out to Bartola because, you know, in the time, you know, it was like a trip, you know, all the, you know, kids in certain neighborhoods would go out, they would go to the bus at like 6:30 in the morning. Yeah. They go all the way out over the 405.
Oh, boy.
And stuff. So my first trip, like, to the Valley ever was getting on a bus at like 6:30 in the morning.
See, Adam thinks that the whole world goes to the Valley when they don't live in the Valley.
Yeah,
you know, give me grief.
And I was like, "Whoa, you know, I'm going all the way over here. Like it's like half a world.
Like
it was
Santa
a world
Barbara
away
or something.
It
yeah.
was a world away yeah. from me." And so I went there and I enrolled myself in Fartola, and it was cool.
You
liked
it?
Yeah, it was because it was the first time I ever went to school where I didn't have to worry about looking over my shoulder every 5 minutes and then fighting every day. You know, and the kids were interested in comic books and movies and stuff. And it was a trip because, you know, you grew up in the Valley. A lot of the kids that went to school, like, in the 80s, a lot of their families worked in the movie business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and
you got that idea, you think?
No, I got the idea beforehand. Yeah. But, you know, when I was in the hood talking about I wanted to make movies, it was all a different thing. And then when I was in the Valley, everybody there, you know, these kids were like, they had 8mm cameras. They had, you know.
Yeah.
It's a trip.
Yeah, Portola was probably a few more movie-making types there than North Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because you're a little, the closer you could get to Ventura Boulevard, the better. Like, Walter Reed was a little bit closer.
Reed was rowdy.
Once I got, Walter Reed was weird.
Reed was rowdy. I heard Walter Reed was rowdy.
Yeah, they used to have gang members and stuff. Yeah. Listen, being bussed in was great for you. It sucked for us white kids. We were like, oh, Christ.
Give me your money.
A bunch of guys come kick our ass. We're like, it was like the scariest guys in the world. It was like the Oakland Raiders just getting off the bus every morning. We're like, oh, my God. What the hell is this?
But it helped the football team,
though.
Oh,
yes, it did. Yes, it did, especially in the skilled positions. Yes, we finally got some speed on that team.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's North Hollywood High. Yeah, we had Melvin Royal.
Nice.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, we had, I think of Mike Odom. Mm, oh, you
wow,
know,
really?
Your name, Mike Odom, you got wheels.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Huge afro. Number 8 had a towel with an 8 ball painted on it. Hanging out. I was scared of the guy who was on my team. I thought it was going to hit me. I was playing linebacker.
You were the linebacker.
I thought it was going to come up and hit me.
Oh,
yeah, but we finally got some wheels. Mario Menifee. Yeah. Wendell Shirley, who changed it to Wendell. Yeah, that means he got fast. See? Yeah, it was good. See, I got along with all the brothers who got bussed in because I was on the football team. They were on the football team, and you just pack them in together. Uh-huh. Next thing you know, you're on the same team, you know? Yeah, it was good. It was good for sports.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right, where are we, Drew?
Durex condoms.
Oh, Durex condoms. Yeah. One lucky person tonight will win a Durex party pack. Party pack includes CDs, poker set, money, and, of course, some Durex condoms. Each night this week, I'm going to decide. Actually, my partner, Drew, will decide. He'll remind me to decide
to pick
a winner. Best call of the night. All right? And you got to be 18 years or older. Brought to you by Durex or Sex. And then there's Durex. All right? Ready to go?
Now let's talk warts.
Where are we?
Warts.
Yeah. Eric?
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. We weren't talking to him about warts, were we?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
really?
Yes.
I thought it was a chick.
No.
All right, go ahead.
About 2 months ago, one popped up. I went in, and I couldn't see a doctor. The PA found some other ones. She gave me Aldera.
Yeah.
And so I've been using it for about 6 weeks, and it seems like it's getting worse. And she also said, since it was so expensive, to split each pack in thirds.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that was a bad idea.
No, that's a good idea. That's good. You only use a tiny little bit. Now, there is kind of expensive, but it usually works. I'm rather surprised that it isn't, and it makes me think that you may have one of the more aggressive subtypes of the virus that causes warts. And sometimes there's other things that need to be done, including freezing them off or burning them off. Aldera is an excellent thing for males because you can see the warts, put the cream right on it. It usually takes it down in about 2 to 4 weeks. You need to get back there and see about some other removals, because once they start growing, they'll start proliferating, and you don't want to get it out of control if you can help it. And you want to go to a dermatologist probably in reality. And the more aggressive virus like you're describing is actually the one that probably can cause the cervical cancer in women.
Mm.
Okay.
So you can give it to a woman and she won't even know she has it.
Right.
All right.
Wear those condoms.
That's like a cancer stick you have in your underpants there now, right? You got to be careful.
Condoms.
Yeah. Use a Durex. Why not? Do a little tie-in. Yeah, why not? Alyssa.
Trojan would be good, too.
Drew, what is it?
I work for Durex. For Trojan.
All right. Alyssa, you're 24?
Uh-oh. Alyssa, caller who goes by Alyssa?
That's right. I'm going to talk to this double D call anyway.
All right. She's 15.
Amy?
Hello?
Hi, Amy.
Okay,
what's happening?
Actually, that's not my question, because the screener wouldn't let me on with my real question.
See? How about a cut foreskin?
You offering?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Who's got a cut foreskin?
Six.
All right. Sky?
Yes.
Hold on a second.
Nope.
I think I'm talking about to Amy for a second. Amy.
She hung up?
No, she hung up on her. All right.
Alyssa, let's go to her.
All right.
Two.
Where's Alyssa?
Two.
Oh, okay, two. What about the cut foreskin?
We'll get to him. Alyssa, I want to talk to Alyssa.
What kind of dude is named Sky?
I know, it's weird.
All right.
No.
Sky.
You're punishing Alyssa for someone named Sky.
Oh, shush up. Sky?
This is Sky, yeah.
What were your folks thinking? What kind of name is that?
No, old ex-hippies.
Oh, yeah. That's abuse. I look at that as abuse. All those kids walking around named Sunshine,
Autumn,
Happy, and
Spring.
Autumn, yeah, any season.
Rainbow.
Or just season.
Oh, girls even like season. And then seasonings like cinnamon, paprika, cumin. That's a tough one for a chick, especially. I'm just saying, name a kid after a time or place or a seasoning or
bad.
Season.
It's just bad impulse.
It's abuse. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
So I have a cut on my foreskin that goes from about the middle of the foreskin down to where it attaches to my penis.
Got it.
And I was wondering what I should do about it. It's from my girlfriend and her braces.
Oh, beautiful.
No way. Really?
He's lying, but it's a good point. And that is when you get...
Why is it a good point?
Because, you know, it's just an interesting issue that if guys get tears or lacerations of the foreskin, they're difficult to heal sometimes, and you have to keep it dry and clean. And then when they heal, they often scar, so it narrows some, so it causes something called a stenosis. So the head of the penis can't come out of the foreskin, so it tears again, and then it stenosis more and it tears, and it's often what leads to guys needing a clip.
Right. All right. Sky.
Yes.
This is a bogus question, is it not?
No, it's real.
No, it's bogus.
Come on, bogus guy.
All right, Sky. All right.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
You know, it's funny. You would think there would be more injuries caused by braces.
Yeah.
Sexually. Just isn't.
The teeth aren't even supposed to get close. What are you talking about?
That's what I keep telling my lady.
And
you're talking about
what I'm saying. No, I know.
One eye for teeth are good.
I agree. She's like, they're clenched down. I'm still not in nothing.
I got fun there.
Oh, so we got that little Madonna gap in the middle there. That's what's happening.
The costume here is just right through. Right through. Nice. Also, the deal is most kids have their braces off by 15 or 16 by the time they're getting into this kind of stuff.
That's all right.
There you go.
Yeah, all right.
That's a good thing.
Right. Well, that's
a good thing.
Good thing.
You must have teenage kids.
Yeah.
Yes?
No, I don't have any teenage kids.
No, they're in their 30s.
Okay.
She's older than he is.
You're right.
The youngest one's 38.
Let's take a break, and then we'll get back to Alyssa.
Alyssa, what is her problem?
She's been, this is married, getting married in 3 weeks. All right, Alyssa, go ahead and say it.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hello.
So let's hear the problem, and then we got to take a break.
Okay. Well, it's not so much a problem. I'm just kind of wanting a general reflection on the way my life is going.
Already, there's problems.
I'm already bored, but go ahead.
Okay, I'm getting married in 3 weeks, and my friend, who's been my friend since high school, who's going to play music at our wedding, I had sex with him last week, and my fiance last weekend we went camping with my friend who is going to perform the ceremony at our wedding, and they made out on the ground at our camping.
With the priest?
So,
everyone's ordained these days. They do it on the internet.
Yeah. General complications.
Go ahead and park your car, Alyssa, and we'll take a little break here.
Okay.
We got to take a break.
Here's the problem with the cell phone. Is that, I talk to people, I'm like, where are you? I'm in the shower. What's going on? It's just me and the dog. I'm washing the dog. I'm showering myself.
Now you got the little ear thing.
Listen, I can barely hear you. It seems dangerous. Yeah, I don't know. Like people, there's no limits anywhere. Mm-hmm. People, we talk to people. They're working on their car. They're getting in and out of stuff. They're doing. They're in the market. They're everywhere. Oh, what are you doing? I'm working out. I'm right in the middle of my Pilates class. I'm talking to you on the cell phone. It's like get at least be stationary. We hear the cars starting up, doors slamming. All right, this is a mess. Here, is it not?
Mess.
Do you think the fiance screwed around with whoever at
back.
The campsite to get
it
back.
Feels like
obviously.
A little payback, but he would have had sex with her if it was a real payback thing.
Well, maybe, yeah, but chicks control.
Yeah.
Maybe that hustle and flow. You see the way I worked that
good
in?
Good movie.
You know what I mean? So maybe he tried to have sex, but all he could do is make out.
Yeah.
All right. We got to take a little break. Taryn Manning is here tonight. John Singleton is here tonight from Hustle and Flow. I want to give a quick plug for my new TV show, which is coming out on Comedy Central, and we need your phone call, so you just call 1-666-HEY-ADAM.
866.
Oh, what'd I do?
1-866.
Oh, thanks, buddy. 1-866-HEY-ADAM, and we can get you on the TV show. I think we're taping it next week. 1-866-HEY-ADAM. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, it's Loveline. Waiting for the door to close. 1-800-LOVE-191.
This is System, right?
This is System, which is now... Is System of a Down just System now, officially?
No.
We get to call him System?
We get to call him System.
All right. John Singleton is here tonight. Taryn Manning is here tonight from Hustle and Flow, out in theaters as we speak.
Yay!
Oh, Anderson must have
He'll
seen
come
Hustle
see.
And Flow. You like Hustle and Flow, Anderson? He's clapping. He must be a
singer.
It's Todd.
Oh, really?
He's not there.
Wow. What's Todd doing? What's Todd doing hitting a...
Movie theater.
Yeah. No, not a mirror there. Hitting a button.
Wow. You're right. It's the first time we heard it. I thought maybe Anderson just stepped back in for the second half of the show.
No. All right. Where are we? Now, we're going to speak to Alyssa, right?
Yeah.
Over here. She's getting married in 3 weeks. It sounds like a disaster.
Yes.
Alyssa?
Hello.
24.
Alyssa gives me a strange feeling.
Yes,
too.
You give me a very, you know, feeling. You give me a Wiccan feeling.
A Wiccan feeling? Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Is that what you are?
Well, no, but I would like to be a witch.
Would you? Are you into that kind of stuff?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that the phone was really choppy before. I was carrying cat litter out to the dumpster, and now I'm done with that. So.
All right.
Well, thank you for explaining. That makes us feel much better.
Yeah. And what do you mean you'd like to be a witch or you'd like to get into that stuff?
Well, can I tell you a short story about that?
Very short.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, one time I was at this concert and this guy was talking to me and I didn't want him to be talking to me and I was standing under a tree talking to him and there was this booth next to us where they're selling stuff and I was like, I don't want to be talking to you. And I kept thinking that and these boxes fell over on him out of the booth and I was like, wow, that was kind of cool. Maybe he'll go away, but he didn't go away. And I was standing under the tree talking to him thinking, I wish you'd go away. I don't really want to be talking to you. And then a branch fell out of the tree and hit him on the shoulder.
That is what we call ideas of reference. And, yeah. Those are sort of delusional.
And by the way, if this kind of stuff worked, a chandelier would land on your head right now.
Yes.
I don't want to talk to you. See what I'm saying? Right. Well, it's true. I'm just saying you're lucky a ceiling fan is not going to crush you right now. You're lucky this stuff doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm willing that right now.
That is an abnormality of thought, Alyssa, you're having there. So here we go.
But it's weird. I got the weird Wiccan vibe from her.
All right. So your question is, what about you having sex with somebody when you're engaged and your boyfriend having sex sort of to try to get back at you? This is craziness, right?
I don't know. Although, do you think it's craziness?
Well, listen, in your defense, let me say that there have been some studies on once in a while that show that women often have a final fling before they get married.
Really?
And it doesn't make it right.
No, it doesn't make it not crazy either. But to some extent, the biological imperative for that is to try to get alpha male genes before you marry the guy that's a good family guy.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
That's interesting.
Isn't that interesting that you got to collect some alpha male genes? Can you relate to this?
That's the animalistic kind of.
Yeah, and then.
What you going to say, yeah?
Maybe she would say.
I'm engaged.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, let's say you found a really nice guy who you think is going to make a great father, but he's a little bit sort of timid. And there's this real bad boy you've kind of been attracted to. You go have sex with him, and a week later you get married.
Uh-huh.
So you collected those bad boy genes to settle down with the guy who'd be a good family member.
It's not a conscious thing, but it's a
biological
drive.
So, but to actually, it's one thing to sort of have those fantasies and to have those drives. I mean, men have all kinds of crazy drives they don't act out on. That's one that I would suggest people don't act out on because it screws up your relationships big time. And you're not actually collecting those genes. You're not going to have that guy's kids.
Right.
But the
thing about it is, she's doing this unconsciously.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, what you're describing is an unconscious thing.
But
it's not.
Hold on.
It's unconscious.
Hold on. We got to take.
Ooh, we're really late.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I talk too much. Yeah. We got pushed up against the top. So hold on a second, because I want to get back and do a little more work on this and see if I can dissuade these two from their union.
Yes, please.
All right, Hustle and Flow, name of the movie. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Taryn Manning's here tonight, along with John Singleton. They got a new movie out called Hustle and Flow. John's got a little something called Four Brothers coming out. And he did Too Fast, Too Furious, too, which I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's my kind of thing. I like that stuff. You know? I'm into it. You know, I like seeing stuff going on, you know?
Cars.
Yeah.
Lots of girls.
The
girls in them.
There we go.
Thank you, Michelle.
There. Thanks, sweetie. Such a novelty when we can hear the guests on this show. Yeah, cars, girls.
Fast cars, lots of girls. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a movie. Mm. I got to tell you, I like to see stuff going on. I like to see some car chases. Yeah. There's something blowing up. You know, I'm a lightweight, you know, intellectually.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Here's proof of it right here.
See, yeah, there you go.
Transcripts.
Yeah.
Take a look.
That's right.
1-7.
Oof. Yeah. Well, 1-7-5.
Let's be fair. For
the 1-7-4. Okay.
6 A's in health education. I mean, the physical
baseball.
Education.
Baseball. Yeah.
Yeah. You take those A's out, and you got about a 0.75.
Yeah. You know, I was in school today. I went to my old high school today, and I was making the rounds. You know what? It was.
You're
it was surreal.
Yeah.
I was turning off the TPA. No, what I was trying to do was I was trying to get my diploma because I couldn't get my diploma when I graduated because I owed the book room money and it wouldn't give me my diploma. And Drew, this is so I paid him the $19.95. Was
today?
Well, it was 16.
Today was 60, the day.
Yeah, it was $65. Now they're getting me a diploma. They're making me. They destroyed my diploma. I'm like, it's not a sick. It's not a diseased farm animal. Had to destroy it. You couldn't just sock it somewhere. Destroyed my diploma.
Mad diploma disease.
Yeah, you destroyed it. Like this old Yeller or something. What did you do? Put it in a wood chipper? Like, what do you mean destroyed it? And they're like, well, we keep it for like 20 years, and if you're not going to claim it, you know, I guess
we destroy it.
We destroy it. poof, and then woo, ghosts like flying out of it. They burn it in some sort of weird ceremonial sacrificial fire on the roof of some downtown building, you know. But anyway, so they have to make me a new diploma because they owe me a diploma. It's just I owe them money for this book. Yeah. And I knew, I had an inkling I wasn't going to need that diploma in life. And as it turns out,
I
was right.
What do you
need
it for?
Well, that's what I said. I went into carpet cleaning after high school, no diploma. Then I went into carpentry, or better yet, manual labor, diploma. That's one strike.
Carpentry is a good skill, though.
Yeah, it's a good skill.
It's a lost skill.
Yeah, it's lost, yeah. But I was digging, though. I just had a shovel. Now, I'm a fine carpenter. If you have some questions, I'd be willing to answer them off the air. But if you put me in your next movie. So here's what I want.
Next movie ought to be about K-Rock in the 80s.
Yeah.
Modern American Graffiti.
Yeah.
That's
Wouldn't that be interesting?
That's good.
As a backdrop for...
Yeah, the movie can end just my first day when I show up.
Perfect. Oh, that'd be so satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah. I got from... I went from carpet cleaning to construction labor to carpenter to boxing instructor to radio.
Boxing instructor?
Oh, yeah. It's a long story, but I'll show you some moves during a commercial. But the point is never needed a diploma.
Yeah.
No one ever asked for it. No one wanted to see it. No one. There was no box to check. I never filled anything out for anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you weren't in a field that had educational requirements.
No. 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 Radio. No.
No.
No. Oh, contraire.
Weren't you some teacher for auto or driving?
I used to teach traffic school. Yeah, I taught traffic school. Ironically, you can find my...
Where'd you teach traffic school?
Let Us Amuse You, LETTUCE.
Oh, how funny.
Let Us.
That's funny.
That's hardy. Yeah, if you look through his transcripts, you'll find a fail in driver's ed, by the way, as well. Ironically.
Mr. Deliberti?
No, that was biology.
Oh, that's...
This is Mr. Gregory.
Oh, Mr. Gregory.
Yeah, and they knew I was gunning for him. I showed up, and they're like, hey, Mr. Gregory's not here today.
Who's the guy that threatened to sue you?
Guy could have been who threatened to sue me.
Yeah,
Dilberti.
When it was, I guess it was a
guy's making fun of his toupee.
No, was it a guy? I guess a guy that moved up northern county, the Pacific Northwest or something. Was it somebody age?
Oh, yeah, it's my buddy Carl.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. No, that's something else. Come on, buddy.
I'm just trying to get it all figured out. Alyssa, here we go.
Yeah.
So we're concerned about your desire, your choice to get married. How old's your boyfriend?
22.
Mm-hmm. What's the hurry here? Wow. Alyssa, you guys are screwing around. Yeah. Come on.
We've been together for 8 years.
Oh, that's a great defense. Okay, I take it all back.
Yeah, why?
And I love him so much. He's the most wonderful man
in
the world.
Yeah, that's why. And so why don't you treat him like somebody you love?
I do treat him like someone I love.
Why'd you have sex with the guy who plays the oboe at the wedding?
Because I love him, too. Because he's been our best friend for a really long time.
Oh, okay. So,
why don't you say so?
So anyone who's been friends with you guys for a while is
open season
on. All right.
Why don't you just choose not to get married and sleep with both of them at the same time?
There you go. Enjoy yourself.
What instrument?
Why do you think that getting married has to stop that?
Because
that's just a very traditional outlook on things, you know. Like I'm committed to him, and I love him. And
but then why do something that is specifically about making a commitment and a monogamous commitment? Why don't you call it something else and do something else?
Right.
Well, I'm not getting married in a church, and I'm not getting married by a priest.
It's more like an
announcement of our love.
All right, you have an announcement of your love. That's fine.
Great.
That's fine.
Yeah. Why don't you get a windbreaker made up for that?
That's fine.
And what instrument does the guy play?
He plays guitar.
Of course.
All right. Yeah, so you get laid with that guitar. You're a big gal, Alyssa? I'm picturing a lot of ass on you.
Oh, no, I'm not.
That's me. Oh, yeah.
Thanks. I wish I had a bigger ass.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting ploy for the radio.
Yeah.
I wish I had a bigger ass.
Takes you off the track a little
bit. Yeah. Oh, what? Bigger ass. Unusually small ass? Interesting. All right. You're not fooling me, big ass. All right. Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to hang up on you, all right?
All right, good.
Don't get married.
Don't get married.
Let me say
she shouldn't get married.
No, she shouldn't.
But they're not going. They're going to announce their love. Fine. And that's
Via getting married, though.
No.
Okay, look, here's the thing. Everyone does this thing where they're like, look, man, I don't need a piece of paper. I don't need the man, or you're controlled by the man, or your thoughts, or your religion, or whatever. The reality is this doesn't work. It's like these open marriages, mm-hmm. open relationships, these swingers, all this stuff.
Work,
it'd be awesome if it did. Yeah. We're just telling you it's not going to work. We're not the man. We don't care. We're not uptight. I'm an atheist. I don't care what you do. I'm just telling you through 10 years of doing this show, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
As open-minded as you are, as uptight as the man might be, still ain't going to work.
That's right.
You're a human being. It doesn't matter how liberated you are. You're only going to take so much of your easygoing beau humping some chick that's someone other than you before you fray an end and go off the deep end.
That's right.
Absolutely. It just doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
And I think people think these rules are put in place by the man. They're just sort of put in place by nature.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Why do you think? Everyone think there's some old white guy that looks like Larry Tate that just gets to make all these rules that don't make sense? You know what I mean? Like, if they didn't work, they wouldn't catch on. Like, everyone does this all the time. Like, how come men get to build skyscrapers and women have to stay home and take care of the kids? Like, that's how it turned out. That's how it worked. That's why. That's how it works. That's how are you going to argue with it? That's the way it is.
And by the way, there's no structure in place that prevents you from being the one that makes skyscrapers. You can go do that.
Yeah, I know, but that's my whole point. You're not. Yeah, you're
not interested.
Not interested.
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't have a drive. See, this thing,
that's
the deal.
That's right.
For people to take a direction in life, you've got to have a drive to take that direction. Motivational systems. We never talk about that.
Absolutely.
What drives you to be a certain way.
Absolutely.
And that's basically, you know, what makes who you are. You're driven in a certain direction. You're driven to make films. You're driven to be funny. I'm driven to buy medicine. And that's, there you go. That drive is in place. And you have to have a lot of it in order to accomplish something like building a skyscraper.
Yeah.
And if you're not driven to do that, you ain't gonna do it.
Yeah, I know. And the man is not really gonna instill that drive in you. It's just
not
you want to act, you want to make films, not anymore.
Which
you
want to
be a doctor, you want to do nothing, you want to get a 1.75 GPA.
You can do that.
I had that drive.
That took some motivation, some drive.
That's what I'm saying.
But John, there was an interesting question up here that I'm going to ask. The guy who fell off the line was how, like an 18-year-old asking how you could go down the path, speaking of drive, of becoming a film director.
It depends on the person, you know what I mean? You can go to, I mean, I went to film school. I went to USC film school.
That's a good way to go,
but
right?
But before I went to USC film school, I was really, really interested in movies, and I lived and breathed movies. I watched movies, and I studied and read about different filmmakers and, you know, in the history of film.
What movies did you watch that influenced you growing up?
Well, when I was a kid, a lot of the movies that I liked were like the big, you know, sci-fi blockbusters like Star Wars and Close Encounters and Jaws.
70s stuff.
You know, yeah, 70s stuff. But then something happened to me, and I went to this revival theater, the Rialto Theater.
That's South Pasadena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't gone there since I was a little kid.
And I went one day, man, and my whole life changes. I never forget, like, the first time I saw, like, Woody Allen's Bananas.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then I saw Annie Hall, and then I saw Clockwork Orange, and I was a teenager, and I was like, whoa. So I started to think about movies in a different way. Instead of thinking of them about, you know, these big, you know, roller coaster ride things, I thought about them as, like, you know, films that basically, you know, could say something, you know what I mean? Like, take people.
How old were you right then?
I think I was like 15.
Yeah.
And Clockwork Orange is a weird one when you're 15.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, you know, and so.
Kubrick.
It just really, really set me off to, like, thinking about movies in a whole different way. So I started watching. I thought it was, like, really cool to be able to watch foreign films. Like, wow, you know, I'm watching all these Japanese movies and, you know, and French films and stuff, right? And, you know, I started really getting into.
Did you go into early American films at all? Like, you know, Chaplin and.
No. I didn't watch any of those films. I watched Westerns, but I watched a lot of the. I didn't watch those films. I watched those films earlier on when I was a kid, but I didn't look at them later on until I was in film school as being statements. You know what I mean? I didn't learn that, like, even like people within the system were making statements.
Uh-huh. What are some of your, what do you think your top 10 or so favorite films are?
It depends. I mean, you know, I mean, I love Raging Bull.
Yeah.
You know, I love a movie called Bicycle Thief.
Yeah. I've heard of that, but I don't think I've saw it.
Jaws. One of my favorite films. I mean, like, it was a movie called Pichot. It was a Brazilian film. It was made in the 80s. I mean, I like The Seven Samurai. I got so many different films, 400 Blows.
Can you summarize what it is about a film that makes it good for you?
I like movies that make you feel something, that take you to a different place, that make you
feel
something.
Point of view.
That's why I'm into porn, by the way.
They make you
never
feel
felt
something.
Stronger about something in my life. I mean, you thought you had passion for that shark.
Are you sort of in the auteur mindset that the director?
I like all kinds of movies, man. I like westerns, you know.
But do you think it should be a collaborative effort, or some guy should have, or some woman should have the point of view?
You know what? Movies are a reflection of life. As soon as you turn on a camera on somebody, you know what I mean? Like, I can turn the camera on you and follow you around for the rest of the day, and I come up with something really, really interesting. You know, that's a reflection of life. So it's like, it could be a collaborative effort. You know, it's not like just someone behind the camera telling somebody what to do. It's about what the actor, I'm pointing to Taryn right now, brings to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they told me.
A vulnerability, you know, certain things. And a lot of times the best things that actors do, and Taryn could agree with me on this, they're not even aware of, because they're like making themselves bare and they're just doing it unconsciously.
That's exactly what they told me when I played the Olsen twins' dad.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, you weren't aware of it.
No, I wasn't aware of it. In fact,
Drew's like, what's my motivation? $1,800 a week, a-hole. Let's go. how it works.
But to
get into it,
you got to go to film school. What'd you say these days?
Not necessarily. I mean, these days.
Drew, always trying to work school.
These days, you should go to school. Not necessarily USC, but any kind of film school. Any place that you can go and you can explore a kind of thought process of looking at movies in a different way. Because a lot of people say, hey, they want to make movies, and there are different reasons why they want to do it. But if you're in a place and you're with a collective of other people who are studying something, it kind of frees your head up to think about it in a different way, other than being in a room just reading, you know, film theory and watching movies and stuff. It's a whole different thing. It's just like the difference between sitting up in front of your TV set or your flat screen watching a movie as opposed to being in a theater. You know, it's different when you're in a collective of people who are all trying to learn something.
Right. Taryn, what are some of your favorite movies? Besides Karate Kid. Karate Kid 2,
that's
Karate Kid
one.
3.
I like Goonies.
Everybody within a certain age range, I found out, Goonies. It was probably somewhere between 25 and 35 likes Goonies.
Yes.
It's
and I realize if you're day over 35, you miss Goonies.
Yes.
Goonies, tell me.
I like Jaws, too, a lot. I saw all of
Jaws.
Them. I hate the ocean. I think there's sharks in my swimming pool.
Jaws 2?
Not Jaws 2 and not Jaws 1.
Did Jaws you see Jaws 2. 1?
Very first Jaws?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, but you said Jaws 2.
Oh, I saw all of them.
Oh, Jaws. Jaws.
Oh, okay. Oh, Jaws as well.
There's a Jaws 2 out
there's
there.
There's a Jaws 2.
Yeah. It's excellent.
What else?
I like Gossett Boogie Jr. Nights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
a lot. I like Silence
Boogie
of the Lambs.
Oh, but great film.
What about Saturday Night Fever?
I like that.
I like Saturday Night Fever.
Saturday Fever is one of my
favorites. I like Dirty Dancing. Mm-hmm. I like Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah. Have you seen a movie in the last 15 years? You'll see some recently.
I said Boogie Nights.
All right.
Nice. Boogie Nights is a great film.
Stuff. Yeah,
Shawshank Redemption.
Tell the story with the Boogie Nights, just for the sake of these guys.
Heather Graham was in here, and I don't know,
a couple years before Boogie Nights, probably.
Well,
did you lose it?
A couple months before Boogie Nights. Well, she was in here plugging something else.
Yeah,
and I said to her, and this is 1995 or six or whatever the hell it is, seven, whenever the movie came out. But I said, so Heather, what else are you working on? And she said, well, I did a movie. Did a movie called Boogie Nights, which is coming out in about 6 months. And I said, Boogie Nights, what's that about? She's like, I play Roller Girl. I was like, oh, okay. Who else is in this movie? Burt Reynolds and Marky Mark. And I was
like what?
The underwear, the underpants guy, and the guy just did Cop and a Half. That like Burt Reynolds, you know, this is before Burt Reynolds made any kind of comeback. He'd just been doing junk. And Marky Mark, it wasn't no Mark Wahlberg, and it's like underpants, hip-hop. So you got old Burt Reynolds, and you got the hip-hop underpants guy, and you're in your roller skates.
And then it's about the porn industry in the 70s.
And I was like, what? I was like, it's called Boogie Nights? Yeah. You're a roller girl? Uh-huh. I said, look, you got to talk to your agent. Someone's got to get you some decent roles. This sounds like a disaster, you know? And she...
Because you're a good-looking girl, you're a great actress. What are you thinking?
What are you thinking? Marky Mark and Burt Reynolds? Give me a break. I just pictured it. I mean, picture that movie being pitched you. I'm Roller Girl. We got Marky Mark and Burt Reynolds. Now, I mean, now you're working with Wahlberg on the latest film and everything. But go back. I don't know. What's it been? 8 years?
Eight years.
When was
Like 8 years, 8, 9 years.
Yeah. Then eight, nine years.
Burt Reynolds and Marky Mark, you have no idea how bizarre that sounded on that night.
Yeah, hip hop, Calvin Klein model with the guy with the weird toupe. And
the guy you expected Dom DeLuise to be in the film,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, a lot of outtakes at the end. I was like, oh, baby, this is going straight to video. That was my favorite.
He said that literally. He goes, oh, dude, it's straight to video.
Oh,
this is my favorite movie of the year, yeah. I love that movie. David?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. And you know, the weirder thing is I knew those the kids. Who was it? Anderson, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh, really? You grew up there? Paul?
Well,
the Valley?
Well, they grew up in the Valley, and while they didn't attend North Hollywood High,
obviously.
Their dad, Ernie Anderson, who used to be the voice of Channel 7. Ernie Anderson's their dad, you know. Ernie Anderson would be the guy going,
Winds of War.
Someone's killing showgirls, and Dan wants to know why. You know, or on the Love Boat.
He was the ABC voice.
He was the voice of ABC. That was their dad.
Yeah.
And I used to work at the liquor store on Ventura, and he used to come in with these little kids, blonde mop-top kids. So I was 16, and they were like 12. Mm. And they would just come in, and that was my kids. Later on, the guy just boogie nights.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Heavy, right?
Heavy.
And look at me. I got a 1.75, baby.
Dude, you're literally...
Yeah, so we both had futures. David?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes.
You want to propose to your girlfriend the same day as the anniversary of your mom's death?
Or her mom's death?
Whose mom's death?
My mom. Yeah.
What happened to your mom?
Well, last September 14th, it was her birthday. The day after, I don't live at home anymore. I live across the country. She actually committed suicide.
Ooh, your mom?
Yeah, my mom did.
How old was she?
She was 49.
Wow.
She depressed for a long time?
Oh, for pretty much my whole entire life.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Freak out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And was she into drugs or anything?
She was when I was younger. Yeah, this sounds like she was an alcoholic, and she, you know, she pretty much got into everything. But she seemed to have been doing, you know, better off and on. But I lost contact with her for a while, and next thing I knew, I got a call that she was in the hospital. Turned out that she drank antifreeze.
Oh my,
antifreeze!
Yeah.
Pretty serious. That's an old fashioned
thing. Suicide attempt. So, all right.
Jesus.
Yeah. Okay, why? I don't know. I mean, there's a part of me that likes it, and then part's like, well, I don't know. Why drudge this up?
Here's my sense of what you're up to.
Uh-huh.
You're putting the heat on your girlfriend. You know what I mean? You're setting it up in such a way that she has no alternative but to say yes, because it's the anniversary of mom's death. How could you possibly say no? Mm-hmm. Don't pile that all on.
It's
unfair.
I don't really think it's like that, because we've already talked about marriage before, and it's pretty much, I already know we're going to get married. There's no possible way we're not going to. We've talked about it many times.
What? I got an idea. Why don't you just wait till 9/11? That's coming up.
What is the purpose of putting those two dates together?
Yeah, why take the world's crappiest day and put it, and don't give me a bunch of rebirth crap.
What it is like, I've gone through a lot of spiritual things, and I feel a lot better about it. I feel... okay, it's really changed my life a lot, and my life has been going in a better direction. And the thing was my mom felt unloved. Like, she didn't feel like, you know, anyone really paid attention to her on her birthday.
She's,
and everything.
She's incapable of experiencing love because she was an abuse survivor. I mean, that's her sort of, that's the story you're telling here.
Right.
And that's not nobody felt love for her. That's part of her brain that connects with all that wasn't operative.
All right, wait a minute. A bigger question. I feel that people sort of indulge in this stuff a little too much, and they like, you know, the people that give you dates all the time? September 22nd, 1985, my mom OD'd. Like, it's always the dates. You know, the people that hit you with the dates all the time. They can't say a while back or a couple of years ago or the other, whatever. They just always hit you with the dates. And you wonder, how many times have you spat out the date of your mother's demise or of the car accident or the tragic event? You know, you keep just searing it into your brain,
this date.
At a certain point, you should be saying, for your own good, few years back, my mom passed away, or, you know, 10 years ago, or about 10 years ago.
Let me flip it around,
like that,
though. This guy's making the case, and I'm not making it. I'm just suggesting that somehow this is a way of bringing closure to that whole episode by bringing love into that day on behalf of the mom that could never receive love.
Yeah. If I thought it would bring closure, I would tell him.
I think it's BS. I agree with you.
I think it's indulgent and weird.
It's living a fantasy. It's wishing it to be those things.
You should mourn your mom's death, and you should have whatever feelings you have about your mom. But it feels creepy to have your anniversary every year be, or your whatever this ends up being for you and your woman, be also a significant date of your mother's death every year.
Contrived. Feels like artificial in some way.
It just feels weird. Yeah. I mean, not for your sake, for her sake.
If you're going to do it, David, go ahead. We're not saying you're a bad person for doing it. We're just giving you our opinion.
Yeah.
We're not saying it's sick,
our opinion
wrong,
is you're a bad person, but
no.
We're just giving you
different,
opinion.
Different issue.
No, you're not a bad person. I just feel like if I was your fiance or girlfriend, my feeling would be, I don't know, leave me out of this. This is you and your mom's stuff, you know?
And Karen, agree?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that come? It would haunt you, so to speak.
But maybe, but maybe on that day he feels low, you know, but having that day be a happy reminder of the day he asked the woman to marry him.
But then they get divorced in 3 years, and it's a 1-2 punch.
Right. It's covering the reality of grief, and the grief is healthy.
Yeah, the grief is healthy.
So kind of projecting guilt on the other person.
That's true.
So David, how about you have your own thing with your mom? And pick another date for your wife or your fiance. I think that's our opinion.
Break it down, Dan.
Come on, buddy.
There we go.
Sorry about your mom, though.
Yeah, we are, but it feels like you're not letting it go very well, and it seems like you're foisting it on the old lady. And by the way, you want to freak out your girlfriend? This is a good way to do it.
This will do it.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, good luck.
He's going to do it.
He's going to do it.
He's going to do it tomorrow. He's already circling the calendar. I think is a weird kind of baggage women are attracted to, and it's not this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Women will gladly marry a guy who's abusive or an alcoholic or whatever, depending on where they came from, but they don't want this kind of baggage.
No.
This is a needy baggage.
This is they want somebody going, if you got that, I'm going to take care of it.
Right.
I don't want you to have to lay it on you.
This feels needy, and this can freak a chick out.
Mm-hmm.
Taryn, you'd be a little freaky,
right? Yeah, because you want to protect, you know, someone from... because he probably does get really, you know, sad that day. Maybe she supports it, but not to put it on her,
Taryn,
you know?
Taryn got a roundhouse kick or something.
Yeah, spinning crescent, maybe a heel.
I one, too.
Oh, just one, too. Okay, that's interesting. But a knee on the way down.
Oh, no doubt.
Sure. A little something to take with you. All right. Well, she calls it a parting gift.
The jewels.
Yeah.
The jewels.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. You know, you don't see in movies too much, Imogen, John, the two-handed punch. Ha-cha! You know what I mean? Where they do the two hands, sometimes under the chin, something. You bring that back in your next film, the two-hander. Yeah?
I'll find a scene for it.
Please. Please weave that in, and then put my name under it. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. We'll give a little phone number out for a new TV show if you have questions for us. Doing a new TV show on Comedy Central after The Daily Show. 1-866-HEY-ADAM.
H-E-Y, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Hey?
H-E-Y. Yeah, hey. Yeah. Hey. 866-HEY-ADAM. And because we're going to be taking some phone calls on that show, and why not have it be one of yours? John Singleton is here tonight. He's the one of the producers of Hustle and Flow. Also, Taryn Manning, who's somewhere. She's probably hearing that on a six-second delay out in the hall somewhere because she's not in the studio. But she should be back here. Should we talk to Vanessa?
Let's do.
All right. Vanessa is 25. Vanessa?
Hi.
What's up?
Okay. Love your show, and I'm super nervous because I've never told anybody this other than
thank you for setting the table that way. We'll be very, very easy on you. Go ahead.
Okay. Back in last July, it's been like a year. One day, to make the long story short, I was going to the bathroom while my boyfriend was taking a shower, And the way our bathroom is set up, like if you lean back, you can't really see the toilet. And I seen him open the shower door, look around for somebody there, didn't see anybody, and he starts off. And
in the shower?
In the shower. And
right.
Of course, me being naive, I didn't know that he did that. And I got so aroused, like more than ever in my life. Like I can't tell you how excited I was.
Wow.
And I watched him do the deed, and
How did you watch him and he didn't see you? Were you looking through a mirror reflection?
Well, no, I could, like, peek around the corner. It's like an L-shaped bathroom, and the toilet's in the bottom of the L, and the shower's right there. But it's a frosted glass panel, so he can't... Everything's, like, blurry when you can't really see.
You got to put those no-skid stickers on the bottom, because...
He's going down.
He's gonna be lunging for the towel bar. He's gonna catch his forehead on the soap, that built-in soap thing. That's where you'll find him.
Yeah, hanging
clinging his penis, broken towel bar. He'll be prying his fingers open, trying to get his penis out and the towel bar out.
It's gonna
be humiliating. Yeah, you have to clean it up for his folks get there too.
Okay.
Come up with something less humiliating. Just say he killed himself. They'd probably appreciate that.
Just tie something around his neck and hang him for the shower.
Hang him. So he can go with some dignity. All right, so that aroused you, and now what?
And so, of course, before, he's always told me that he doesn't jack off when I'm not around because I like to watch him. And so since I found that out, every day now I have to watch him in the shower. And once he caught me, and ever since he caught me, like that was a month into it, He locks the door, but thank God for me, there's a crack. Like, the door's askew. So even when it's closed, like, at the bottom of the door, you can still see in, like, a little crack. So
he's ashamed. He's ashamed of that.
But he does this every day, and you watch every day.
I guess. I mean, I assume that he's ashamed. I guess I feel, like, ashamed or that it's bad, but I...
Does he masturbate every... What
can
goes
on? Can we ask
on?
You something?
Yeah.
Have you ever masturbated in front of him?
Oh yeah, like we're.
So why should he have a problem with you watching him masturbate?
He always says, "Well, my shower time is my shower time. That's my private time to do my own thing."
Did you ever have something where you walked in on your folks or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. There it is.
Mm-mm. That's what it is.
Pow.
Pow. Yeah. Well, look. Here's the reality with guys. We masturbate because we want to get away.
We'll be by ourselves.
You know, you guys take a bubble bath or a sauna. We beat off. That's our escape.
It's Calgon.
Jergens, take me away.
Calgon.
Well, it's not Calgon.
Oh, Jergens.
It's Jergens.
Jergens.
Yeah.
But
take
Vanessa,
me away.
We
want to get away from your ass. That's why we're beating off and feeling the prying eyes. When we're trying to, that's your fortress of solitude. By the way, that shower, wherever you're beating off, is your fortress of solitude. I don't care if it's your car. That's your fortress of solitude. As a guy, we don't need you looking in on us.
However, the fact that you were traumatized as you were, which is not a damaging trauma, creates arousal on these kinds of voyeuristic kinds
deep
of behaviors.
Why don't you two work on masturbating next to each other?
Yeah, that'll do it too.
I think you two should
sit. Do that too, though. Like,
yeah, but
that's like a normal thing that we do.
Yeah, but she's really reenacting the whole thing.
Here's what it is. Here's what guys feel: the encroachment of crazy. They feel the pressure of crazy, and they want to get away.
But this one is so benign, though.
It's benign, but yet there's a little nuttiness propelling it, and the guy feels it coming
at him.
Here's
what he feels like. I can never do this without it involving her.
Yeah.
And the whole deal is doing it by himself.
When guys feel intrusion, they feel you ever try to put drops in your dog's eye or ear or something? The guys are hold still. I'm not going to do anything.
Yeah.
And they're like, I just don't. Go on.
Yeah, I got you.
Give me some space.
First of all,
give me
some space.
Vanessa?
Yeah.
You're the call tonight. You get the Durex pack, first of all.
Yeah.
For sure.
Are you multi-orgasmic, by the way?
Well, I keep, But, I mean, we're crazy, wild, kinky. I mean, you name it, and we've done it.
No kidding.
Like, even now that it's been so long, I mean,
I guess it's been
a year.
Yeah, Drew knew you were multi-orgasmic. Drew wrote it down on a piece of paper about 5 minutes ago. Yeah, he hears it.
I don't know what that is. I can just always hear it on when the women are that way.
Yeah.
And I guess
it's a certain tone, autonomic tone.
You want to you want to not hear it for an evening? Come by my place. You hear the sounds of silence, baby. Come on down, Drew. You want a little quiet from all the noise? Come on down.
I didn't want to bring it up. I have it on this paper right here.
Come over for dinner.
But Vanessa, how about if you created some structure with this? How about if you sort of had a, made a game out of it? You know, certain days he plays along with you.
I don't
know. You pretend this is what he's looking
at. I'm thinking you're going to drive this guy away. I'm feeling like let him okay, here's the deal. He shouldn't be beaten off every morning if you two are living together.
That's right.
On the other hand, what's going on with your two schedules that you're on? Are you on top of each other all the time? Do you work, you know?
How do you work?
He is a workaholic, but I'm a stay-at-home mom. So I am home, like, whenever. Like, even on days when he gets a haircut in the middle of the day and comes home at 1 or 2 after his haircut to take a shower, I make sure that I am home. You know, I'm like, okay, when are you getting your haircut? Because if I don't see it, it's like he takes a shower and I'm not there, I get, like, angry. Like,
That's
where he's screwing up.
That's what he's responding to. You're freaking him out. That's why I'm trying. I don't think it's a great idea for you just to pick Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to watch him beat off in the shower. I think you got to settle this. I mean, this is...
Stop it?
This is... Well, I'm not saying stop it, but this is Vanessa's issue.
Yeah, yeah.
And she gets angry and stuff. And she's a mom now.
Yeah.
And this is... There's a lot of energy in her. She needs to settle this.
It's not going
to
be easy to break.
Well, some therapy or some whatever.
Oof.
No.
This is like breaking your jug habit.
I like big jugs.
I'm just saying.
Well, if that's a crime, then guilty.
I'm just saying. You like me to try to stop that with you?
How dare you?
It's going to be like Vanessa.
I have big jugs.
No.
Do you have... Yo. Well, that's healthy. I mean, that's good.
What's
he doing beating off when you got them big jugs right outside the door?
Yeah, they're gigantic.
What size are they?
38 triple D.
All right.
That's great.
All right, that's awesome. Great. But how much you weigh?
I weigh 140, and I need to lose 20.
Oh, really?
But before I had the baby, just for the record, I was 115 and 34 double D.
Wow.
Wow.
Sound. Well, that's probably what he's beating off to.
Yeah.
Old you.
That's what I beat off to. Oh.
You're being off the... Okay, listen. Vanessa...
We're spiraling.
All right, here's what I'm saying.
Give her... First of all, when you put her on hold, do not hang up on her. She gets the direction.
Guys, yes. Guys feel cornered sometimes. Guys... Mm-hmm. Here's what a guy likes to do. Guy in a relationship... Even when he's married, even when he's in a relationship, he likes to feel like he has a little autonomy, a little freedom. You got to let him have his boys' night out. That doesn't mean go see a hooker. That means just let him... Let him go with the guys and blow off a little steam, you know, and then let him go to a ball game.
You mean him and his penis?
Him and his penis. Let the guy have a little space. If you try to encroach on that too much, the guy eventually is just going to slip out of there.
Yep.
Okay?
I tell you what, this is going to be not something she can break easily. Maybe, and that's why I'm saying put some structure around it so it's not the momentum that she has.
Listen to me, though, Weisenheimer. If this was a guy... saying, I have to pee, I have to peer in on my wife and I have to see her, what she's doing, you'd say, hey, knock it off, buddy. Let's go.
I'd say work on it, but I'd say find a way to make a game out of it that you can both participate in where she's not being exploited or feeling looked in upon or violated on their privacy. Get him to participate.
The more she puts the screws to him, the more he wants to slip away.
But maybe he can agree to one day a week or something.
Something
where they can both agree on this.
All right. Let's just agree to disagree.
All right.
John Singleton is in studio tonight. Name of the new movie is Hustle and Flow. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Taryn Manning is back in studio tonight. John Singleton. Steady yep. John Singleton. Always in studio. Here.
At his baddest post.
He's the... I don't know if he's the Gordie Howe of guests.
Wow.
Not too many white hockey players use his reference for black radio guests, but he's Mr. Howe. Consistent. He's Gordie Howe played hockey in his like 50s or something.
Wow.
It is kind of nuts, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bobby Hull.
Yeah.
Bobby Hull without a helmet.
Yeah.
Bobby Hull, I think everyone helmets.
You know what I liked about hockey? You know how hockey's a bizarre sport because hockey made a rule, Even though everyone else wore helmets, batting helmets, cycling helmets, football helmets, motorcycle helmets, everyone wore helmets, and except for hockey, which is the one sport where you really needed a helmet. That's because true. Here's what you got. You
here's
got
the ultimate logic. Not old hockey players.
Well, that's
those guys really don't need the helmet.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They didn't wear helmets. I mean, ice is harder than concrete, and the puck is no picnic if that hits you in the head either. And then there's sticks and there's fights. And so then they pass a rule in like 1984 or something that says everyone's got to wear a helmet, except for the guys who got in the league before the rule. They don't have to wear a helmet.
Nice. That was the rule, yeah. So if you're 50, you got some delicate vessels in your head because you're older. Don't worry about it. You have to wear a helmet.
So for the first 15 years of the helmet rule was only the guys who got in after 1983 or whatever who were wearing the helmets. The guys who got in the league 6 months earlier could play their whole career with no helmet. Wow. They were grandfathered into the no helmet. And I guess you were considered a pussy if you put a helmet on when you didn't have to put a helmet on. So for many years, if anyone remembers, there'd be half the guys who wearing helmets, yeah. The other half
I never knew
weren't
that
wearing
was.
Helmets.
Did you, what's up with that, you know, because they reinstated the whole thing with the hockey, but what's the red line rule? What's
oh, and they got rid of the red line.
What's that? That's
the whole thing. That's the, you know you're in trouble in a sport when you cancel a rule and no one knows what the F it is. You know what I mean? Like in football, football, if they said no more extra points, you'd be like, what? What do you mean no more? Everyone knows what an extra point. You know, hockey said, we're getting rid of the orange line. Huh? What is that? I don't remember seeing that. Yeah.
Well, I knew there was a red line there. I never knew what it was for.
Yeah. I know. I've heard the icing call made 7,000 times.
Stuff. Never
real no
understood.
Good idea how yeah. that's. I think that's like cherry picking in hockey. Well, anyway, thank God hockey's coming back. I can see John and Taryn are elated. Can't wait.
We were playing hockey on Four Brothers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg, Andre Benjamin learned how to skate and play.
Taryn's from
Tyrese.
Taryn's from big hockey ice hockey town, Tucson.
Oh, yeah, well, Taryn, and then South Central. Yeah, I mean, you're big hockey fanatics.
No, I wasn't a hockey fanatic, but I'm saying we that's how I got the dudes and Four Brothers to bond, gave them skates and equipment, and we got them, you know, we got some players because everybody up in Toronto, they were out of work, all the hockey players. We got them coaches, and they learned how to play hockey.
Interesting.
Aww. Yeah, I
got the brothers playing hockey in the movie.
Wow. Well, if the brothers set their goal on, pardon the pun, on hockey, there's no doubt they'd be kicking Whitey's ass in it in just, you know, matter of months.
It's the cool thing about, have you played before? Have you played hockey?
No, I'm from North Hollywood. Oh. We don't have
the cool thing about playing hockey is
you
so much energy and you get so hot, but then you keep cool because then you're on ice.
That's yeah. Nice. I always used to, you know, I always played football that was hot because the sun was beating down on your head. And I always used to be jealous of guys who are like on the swim team or guys who played hockey because at least, no matter how much energy they're expending, you're on a block of ice. You can't get that bad. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's my whole thing with hockey. Does the goalie need that water bottle sitting on top of the net? You know, he's got to bring his beverage out there with him? You can't stand there for 20 minutes? You need to replenish yourself? You're bringing a beverage? What's next? You bring a 12-pack or cooler out there, have a Boda bag around your neck? Right, like,
right. Goalie's got the hardest job.
He's got a hard job, but so does a linebacker in football. He doesn't go out there with the soda machine. You know, you know what I mean? Yeah, just bring I don't like that.
Yep.
How would you like it, like in baseball, the center fielder just standing out there, he's got himself a Coke.
Just sucking on it.
He's sucking on something. It's hot. And people are like, well, it's hot. Yeah,
hard job.
I know. That's what
you get the hard job in baseball.
It's called sports. Yeah, you're not supposed to bring a beverage out there with you. I'm not saying.
Right, we have time for one call.
It sits on top of the goal, too. What? You go in during the quarter break or whatever, and you get a sip
stays
of water.
Cold. That's the deal. Because it stays cold.
Yeah, it's free. You're standing on a block of ice. You're going to dehydrate? You're not moving half the time. The puck's going the other way. If you do move, you got 6 inches to the right, 6 inches to the left. You're not doing wind sprints. We need the water out there for. That's all I'm saying, Drew.
They have some serious gear on, though. Like
they do.
They got the gear, but
listeners out there, when you do see Four Brothers, look closely at the goalie in the scene when playing hockey. It's me.
Oh,
no kidding.
How cute.
I'm like going back and forth on the skates.
Jimmy had a brilliant idea one time to take a morbidly obese guy and put him in a goal.
Oh, yeah.
700-pound dude.
Chris Kimmel
did that?
The rest of the 70s?
Plan.
Yeah, Olympic wrestler in the 70s, Chris Taylor, I think his name was. He weighed about 400 pounds.
Yeah.
Put him in the goal.
Well, they got guys that go 700, 800 pounds now.
The big one,
just stuff him in there.
Gosh.
Yeah, nothing, nowhere. Nowhere move? For the goal to go. Yeah. You don't have to move. It's like filled it up. Yeah, it's like sticking your thumb in a dike. You don't have to move.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Here we go. Saying. Real quick.
Holly?
19, Holly. Yeah, what's up?
You know what I'm saying, man.
What's Hello? Up?
Yes, here we go.
And stuff, you know?
Make it good.
Holly, 19. Go ahead, baby.
Hi. I love anal sex. Like, I've never done it with a guy before, but I've
Speaking of the thumb. Yeah?
I've done it with, like, my toys, and I love it, but my boyfriend that I have right now, I've tried to talk to him about it, and he just doesn't seem into it at all.
Does he know how into it you are?
True, you're looking for a nanny, aren't you, for the kids? I'm just saying we would get a number off the air. Sounds like a delight.
Have you told him how into it you are?
Yeah, like at first I was just kind of like, you know, I think maybe we could try it. It'd be kind of fun. And he just okay. didn't sound into it all right. at all.
All right, well, you're not going to get our guy into it that way. Because if he's not into it, that's not going to take him down that path.
I think it's going to be a tough sell.
But if she says, this is something I am, you know, you'll really, for me, then I think he might go for it. But you have to be very clear about that.
Yeah, there's also the element of possibly sort of like we're talking about with the masturbatorial call a few minutes back. There's sort of the possibility of freaking the guy out a little bit too. Yeah. But you can give it a try.
I can masturbate when he's with me and he totally likes it. And sometimes I'll take his and like stick him in there.
He
starts to kind of like it, but then he's like, he doesn't really know.
He doesn't know. That's the point.
Okay. Well, he's ambivalent about
bring him along. He'll be
about
right.
the anal sex. Yeah. The jury's still out on the anus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right,
find
Holly.
Find a guy who likes you. There's plenty of them.
Yeah. Got a plan.
Okay. Thank you.
That's a little more than a plan. Yeah. All right, Holly. Best of luck to you. Best of luck.
You
kids.
You
kids are dynamite. Good luck to you. All right. Dynamite kids calling in. Tell you. A lot of people have a lot of things to say about this country and its youth. It's calls like that. They give you renewed right? sense of
renewed faith
and hope
spirit,
in this country.
Yes,
that's right. They're a future. This is a future right here,
yeah,
buddy.
Absolutely.
Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Show. That's the week. I want to thank Taryn and John for coming in here tonight and representing Hustle and Flow out in a theater near you. And then you can look for Four Brothers coming out in a couple of weeks. Yes, John?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3 weeks.
And keep an eye out for Taryn's other projects as well. I want to thank Todd for doing a great job engineering all week long. And, of course, Michelle and Anderson, who's out of town. We'll give him thanks anyway. Junior producer Lauren and producer Ann and phone screener, who the hell?
Trisha.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, and Nick or Vic. Who's we got too many people working on this.
Rick and Perez.
All right, it's a cavalcade of people who have GEDs. It just
circles
in through my life.
I got news on Perez for you. I was going to bring it up
really?
Next week. Yeah.
Did he graduate
Huge
something?
Huge career coming up for him.
All right.
Big career move.
All right, and who else am I missing, Drew?
You got it.
That's good enough. Eddie Griffin is coming in next week, and Pennywise, too.
Look forward
to that. Yeah. So, until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.